I'm Tony Cox, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm sitting in for Michelle Martin, who is away. Well, now it's time for a special edition of The Barbershop. Now, wait a minute. Even if you're not a big sports fan, stick around. There are some pretty interesting topics we're going to talk about because today The Barbershop is all sports. We're also going to talk a little bit about being grateful this Thanksgiving season. So, sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, author Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and author Arsalan Iftikhar, sports editor at the magazine The Nation, Dave Zirin, and Sports Illustrated reporter Pablo Torre. Jimmy, it's all yours.
Thanks, Mr. T. Hey, fellas, good to have you back in the shop, by the way, Tony. Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey,
what's up, man?
Turkey Day.
Well,
I want to
eat. Alrighty then.
Hit me.
Dave has his Bart Scott voice going already.
Cancel.
Well, you know, can we just jump right in and talk about a preview of the Thanksgiving NFL games? We got the San Francisco 49ers versus the Baltimore Ravens, the Miami Dolphins playing the Dallas Cowboys, and the Green Bay Packers up against the Detroit Lions. Guys, give me your picks. Pablo, P-Dog, you're first up. Sports Illustrated in the house.
All right, so, I mean, the Packers are going to roll over the Lions. I mean, I don't think the Packers are going, you know, they're not going undefeated this season, but they're pretty much better than anybody else in the NFL by a very wide margin. I'm going with Tony Romo, going from the GOAT to a guy who's actually a serviceable quarterback again, beating the Dolphins. And I'm going with the Ravens in a bit of an upset, I guess, over the 49ers. Ray Lewis at night at home. I don't pick against that guy.
Dave Z, Mr. Zirin, tell us all about it.
Pablo is like a great major league hitter in that he just went 1-for-3.
All right. Oh, okay.
First of all, the Packers are going down. This is the first meaningful game that's been played in Detroit on Thanksgiving since Alex Karras was in the house.
Oh, Webster,
I like
Webster.
The Lions bringing it against an undefeated but flawed Packers team. That's one. Two. The hottest team in the NFL is not the Green Bay Packers. It is the Miami Dolphins. I like the Dolphins to smoke Tony Romo. And third, and this one is the one where I think Pablo finally got his groove back, it is the Ravens and John Harbaugh sending Jim Harbaugh back to the Bay Area with the 49ers' second loss.
You know what? I'm just glad you're not excited about it.
I
one
know,
word,
right?
Brother. Decaf. A-Train. Arsalan. I mean, my man.
How can you
jump in here and pick, give us your picks.
How can you follow that kind of moxie?
I know, right?
I'm going to go with Detroit over Green Bay. I'm going to go with Dallas over Miami, and I do think that San Francisco is going to come here to Baltimore and take it and go 9-1.
There you go.
Oh,
Mr. T,
that's
what's
right,
the over-under at your house, man?
You know, I like Jim over John. I'm taking Jim Harbaugh
there
over Brother John. The Niners are on a roll.
They are.
And I think the Ravens have been a little inconsistent this year, and even though they have number 52, I'm not sure that he can pull it out.
I guess you just got to have faith. And speaking about faith, let's talk about Tebow. You know, he's not playing tomorrow, but wherever he is, we can be sure he's giving thanks. Now, the Denver Broncos quarterback is known for his skills on the field, but also for something called Tebowing. It's a reference to his habit of kneeling in prayer on the field. Now, he's also talked about his faith in post-game interviews. Now, personally, Jesus is still all right with me, word to the Doobie Brothers. So I can definitely respect his spiritual swagger. But some people, they think it's a little bit over the top. Now, this week, former Broncos quarterback Jake Plummer, who I guess is not all Jesus up like that, said, you know, essentially, you know, Tebow should maybe ease up on all the Jesus talk. Tony, we got a clip, right?
Yeah, absolutely we do. Here's Plummer speaking on a Phoenix radio station. This was on Monday.
Tebow, regardless of whether I wish he'd just shut up after a game and go hug his teammates,
right.
I think he's a winner, you know, and I respect that about him. And I think that when he accepts the fact that we know that he loves Jesus Christ, then yeah. I think, well, I'll like him a little better. But I don't hate him because of that. I just would rather not
sure.
have to hear it
that
every
single
time.
Yeah.
Every time he takes a good snap or he makes a good handoff.
Mm-hmm. Wow. thanks, Tony. Plummer did give Tebow some props, but it got me kind of wondering. The NFL banned, you know, over-the-top victory dances on the field because they were distracting. Now, is this Tebowing, is it distracting in the same way? Dave Z, Mr. Zirin, your take on this?
It's not distracting in the same way, but I'll tell you this. I would want to have Tim Tebow actually ask his maker, if you are so great and so merciful, why haven't you taught me how to throw a spiral? The man throws a football like it's a ham-shaped grenade. And I don't understand how it is that he starts in the NFL. I know you are what your record is. He's 4-1. But to me, I guess he's just praying that he makes it one more week.
I know, right?
Well, you know, this is Pablo's jumping in.
Go ahead, Pablo.
You know, Tebow reminds me in a very weird way, and in an opposite way almost, of Kurt Warner, who's the last quarterback to kind of really be so uber Christian and very vocal about it. And Kurt Warner, of course, was in some ways the opposite guy. He was a guy who was a grocery bagger, but threw a perfect spiral, was the ultimate thrower. And Tebow, of course, was this Florida star who can't, as Dave eloquently put it, throw a spiral for the life of him, but he wins. And Jake Plummer, for what it's worth, in all his wisdom, is also a guy who walked away from the NFL to play handball. So I love Jake Plummer. And in the same way that I appreciate Plummer's opinion, I think Tebow should have the right to say whatever he wants.
You know what? He did say something. Tony, he did respond, right? He said something on ESPN, right?
He did. I'm going to play it for you in just a second. But for people that are just tuning in, let me let them know who we are, what we're doing, what we're talking about. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Tony Cox sitting in for Michelle Martin. And you are listening to our weekly Barbershop Roundtable. Today is a special one because we're talking about sports and sports and more sports. We're joined by author Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, sports editor Dave Zirin, and sports illustrator reporter Pablo Torre. So now, back to this Tebow clip. He did respond, as you said, Jimmy. Here's what he said on ESPN First Take. This is yesterday.
If you're married and you have a wife and you really love your wife, is it good enough to only say to your wife, I love her the day you get married? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and every opportunity? And that's how I feel about my relationship with Jesus Christ, is that it is the most important thing in my life. So anytime I get an opportunity to tell him that I love him or give him an opportunity to shout him out on national TV, I'm going to take that opportunity.
You know,
yeah, I'm totally feeling that. Well, you know, because yeah, you got to tell your wife every opportunity you can.
You do, ain't that right, baby?
Go ahead, A-Train.
Listen, you do have to tell your wife that you love her every day. But you know, doing like public displays of affection, you know, on every street corner. I mean, I'm not hating on Tim Tebow.
I actually, you know,
you're also a newlywed.
You know, Tim.
Right, right.
Tebow marching his team down the field 95 yards against the New York Jets was a masterful thing, and I agree that, you know,
now that was a prayer answered.
It was, and I do agree. He throws the ball like Dave Zirin does, but it's, I don't mind the holy roller stuff that much. I mean, it's who he is. That's fine. You know, I think the people are, you know, they're drinking the haterade a little too much on this.
Here's my question on this, Jimmy. One more thing before you move on to the next topic. I wonder how the networks are going to handle this going forward, because if they don't show it, you don't know that it occurs.
Or how would they handle it if Mushin Muhammad, when he was playing, was like, praise Allah with every catch?
Yeah, it's a question of how
he'd be thrown in Guantanamo Bay.
Are they going to cover it or not? All right, Jimmy, back to you.
All right, well, let's keep it in motion. Talk about another quarterback I kind of want to get into, the Philadelphia Eagles, Michael Vick. He sat out last Sunday's game because he broke his rib in a game earlier this month. Aw, Dave.
Yes.
Dave Zirin, how soon will we see him back on the field, you think?
Oh, I think Michael Vick is the amazing combination of the fragile and the tough. I mean, it seems like sometimes you stare at him wrong and a bone snaps, yet at the same time, he'll be out there with that snap bone doing his thing. I think we're going to see Michael Vick back as soon as humanly possible, because he plays like somebody who has something to prove. And this team, as bad as the Eagles have been, the NFC East, the winner of that division will win 9 games. Mark it down. And so that means the Eagles are still in the hunt.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tony, I know you wanted to talk about Rex Ryan.
One more thing before we get away from the NFL. Of course, I got to get you guys' reaction to the New York Jets coach Rex Ryan. He was not pleased when the New England Patriots took a lead into halftime last Sunday, and when Ryan was walking off the field, a fan heckled him a bit. So Ryan responded with a comment that cost him $75,000. We can't play that comment, unfortunately, for you, but you know that it wasn't something that you want to talk about with your children. He essentially said to shut the bleep up.
You don't know my kids.
This is the same coach who was fined $50,000 by his own team in 2010 for flipping off a fan at a mixed martial arts event. So the question is, I suppose the swear jar in the clubhouse of that team is really big, and that Rex Ryan is a guy that keeps putting money in it.
Yeah, Rex Ryan's a clown, man. I can't buy into that whole, you know, Ryan trying to sort of hype his team up. You know, he crosses the line. He's a proverbial line stepper, and you know, it's one of the things I think the NFL will get tired of it really quickly.
But fans, I mean, the thing that's ironic about that to me though is that he was fined for, you know, cursing at a fan, but fans who go to these games, specifically go to Jets games, it's almost like they pay money to hear Rex Ryan curse. Yeah, I mean, he's cursing the entire game. And the NFL Network, you know, they did the special on Bill Belichick, and they have him mic'd up, and he's cursing at everybody. I mean, this is part of the game. I never understood why we draw the sanctimonious line when everybody in the stands is drunk and cursing at each other.
So
I
think Pablo
doesn't bother him.
Yeah, but Pablo is right that something strange is afoot.
All right. Let's move from pro football to college football, gentlemen. It was a weekend of upsets last week, and now the bowl championship series has the three top teams from the same conference, LSU, Alabama, Arkansas. You okay with this, or is it time for a playoff? Dave, what do you say?
Of course it's time for a playoff. My goodness. I mean, this is the worst cartel we've seen since Vito Corleone got off the boat and, you know, Lower East Side, man. This is terrible. I think Pablo has a lot to say about this. Come on, Pablo, back me up here. Give me the SI and Primatur that we need a playoff.
We do. And, you know, the thing is, when you go to these bowl games and how they select teams, the bowls don't care about the best teams. They want the fan base. That's why Notre Dame is going to a bowl and having, you know, being basically favorited by every possible selection committee because they travel well, because their fans all go. And when you have a playoff picture like this one, a postseason picture, rather, like this one, it really exposes why we need this. You know, there's only one way to settle in sports what the best team is, and that's to have the best teams play each other in a tournament format. The college football season is the only one that doesn't end like that, and it's ridiculous.
It makes me wonder, Artelan, whether or not we're going to see another upset weekend like we saw this past weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, you know, you had the number 4 Oregon Ducks who were upset. I mean, again, I hate the BCS system to the point where I'm not a college football fan because of the BCS system. I think it is patently broken. I think that, you know, for those of us who didn't go to a Division I school and, you know, didn't have pep rallies every week, you know, we don't really have a vested interest in following this because we think it's a patently broken system, at least with the NFL, the NBA, even the NHL. I mean, there is a playoff system where the best teams play each other, and ultimately the survivor gets the world championship. And I think that until we enter that playoff system for the BCS, I think we're gonna continue to see the fan base shrink around the country.
What do you say, Jimmy? You want to go into another topic?
Four! All right, so let's talk Tiger Woods. He finally showed his stripes. Finally, he helped secure a U.S. win in the President's Cup on Sunday. And before that, he took a third-place finish in the Australian Open. Now, a lot of folks, they just kind of wrote him off. And it's been two Thanksgivings ago that, you know, his Cadillac and his image took a hit after an argument with his now ex-wife. But, you know, moving forward, looking into the future, I don't know. Is he on a comeback prowl? Me, personally, I feel like golf isn't boxing. You know, it's really a sport that happens in the head. And once your game is off, your game is off. Now, you might get back on game, but you'll never be quite as good as you once were. A-Train, Arsalan, you're up first, man.
Yeah, I think, talking about Tiger Woods, I think it's important for him to win. I just think he needs to win majors in order for him to get back. And I agree with you completely, Jimmy. It's all a head game. And I think, you know, the fact that he hasn't been able to win these last 2 years is a testament to how much the whole fiasco with the Escalade really, affected his game.
Not for nothing, it also disrupted his family, Pablo.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Tiger Woods is never going to be back to where he was. He's too old at this point for golf in that lifespan. And you know, it is a mental game. And I think Tiger, though, is going to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of what I like to call the Penn State curve, where we think of all the bad things athletes have done, compare it to what is now the worst thing we've ever seen in sports, and think, well, maybe that guy isn't that bad. Maybe he shouldn't be heckled everywhere he goes. And I think Tiger Woods is being put in context at this point.
That's true. Yeah. He doesn't have to be as good as he was, though. He has 14 majors. We all know from the time Tiger was a fetus, his father Earl Woods put that number 18 up on the wall and said, you have to pass 18 majors, Jack Nicklaus's record. And that's all Tiger wants. He wants to see if he could squeeze out 5 more majors before his body starts to fall apart. But I want to give a thank you to Tiger Woods, because it was 2 Thanksgivings ago that my family finally had something to talk about at the dinner table.
That's a perfect segue to the end of the segment, because we wanted to ask you what you were thankful about looking at Thanksgiving. Dave Zirin just gave us one. Pablo, what are you thankful about?
I'm thankful for actual games that are good for the sake of being games. You know, a good college football game, be nice if we had a playoff, but the MLB postseason was great. Just things that remind us why we got into sports in a year when so much horrible stuff has happened off the field. And with the lockout, too, I think it's time we don't take our games for granted.
Artelan.
I'm thankful for Dave Zirin, Tony Cox, Jimmy Israel, Pablo Torre, and Michelle Martin.
That's a smart guy. He wants to come back. All right, Jimmy.
Well, of course, I'm thankful for my wife and kids, but especially thankful to my grandma, sweetheart, who now that I'm on it in Cleveland, WCPN 90.3, she listens every Friday. I love you, sweetheart.
That's nice. Dave, I cut you off.
That's cool.
You got to have another opportunity, but it got to be a quick one.
I'm thankful to Bo Pelini, the coach of Nebraska, for standing up after the Penn State-Nebraska game and saying, why are we playing this? Has the whole world gone mad?
That's great. I'm thankful for all of you guys, and I'm thankful that I'll be able to make the plane to get to be with my family tomorrow.
It's been
a wonderful time. Jimmy Israel, freelance journalist, author of the book The Denzel Principle, joining us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Pablo Torre, a reporter for Sports Illustrated, joining us from our NPR studios in New York. Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation magazine, also host of SiriusXM Radio's Edge of Sports Radio, and Arsalan Iftikhar, civil rights attorney, founder of TheMuslimGuide.com, author of the newly released book, Islamic Pacifism, Global Muslims in the Post-Obama Era. Arsalan and Dave here with me in Washington. Thank you guys very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Gobble, gobble.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.
And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Freddie Boswell, Bracton Booker, Bridget DeShagas, Eamon Malone, Sanaz Meshkinpour, Lauren Magaki, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our intern is Malik Washington. Our directors are Monica Estatieva and Arjun Hutchins. Our editors are Alicia Montgomery and Ahmed Omar, with help this week from Lori Grant. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Brian Jarbo. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment, with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. The supervising senior editor is Portia Robertson-Migas. Our executive producer, Tashima Walker. To tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can find our podcast there. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Tell Me More NPR. I'm Tony Cox, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Let's talk more tomorrow.